I would like to speak to us for a very short while, I think no more than 30 minutes, on the topic, No Room for Christ in the Inn, The Great Dilemma. No Room for Christ in the Inn, The Great Dilemma. And the scripture was already read this morning. The text is taken from Luke chapter 2 and verse 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Dilemma. I would like us to consider dilemma in terms of a tight situation, a difficult one, perhaps an embarrassing situation, a condition, a quandary, a predicament. It was absolutely necessary that our Lord Jesus Christ be born in Bethlehem. In fact, it was prophesied by the minor prophet Micah, Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, the King James Version says, though you are the least among the princes, out of you will come a governor that shall rule my people. And that is the background prophecy behind what we're saying here today, talking about no room, no room in the inn. Let's look at the dilemma. Let's look at the predicament. The second thing I would like us to note is that God had found someone, had found a virgin to be the vessel that would carry the embodiment of our salvation, our peace, our joy, our hope. Found her in the form of Mary, by the name of Mary. Gabriel, who addressed himself as one who stands in the presence of God, said that to Zechariah earlier, came to Mary and announced that she would carry the precious Christ child. But Mary is living in Nazareth, in Galilee, and there seemed to be every probability that the birth would take place in Nazareth, because by this time she was well advanced in her pregnancy. Isn't that a dilemma? A prophecy saying that he should be born in Bethlehem, and the person carrying the Christ child is living some miles away in Nazareth. How could these two realities be harmonized? How do we get these two obscure people that not many people would have known? How do we get them who are living in Nazareth to be in the place where it was prophesied that Jesus should be born? How do we get the official stamp of the Roman Empire on their papers? He was to be of the house and lineage of David. Going to Bethlehem was absolutely critical. Well, God always has a plan. Oh, glory to God. I say God always has a plan. And it doesn't matter what predicament you may be in today, God always has a plan. He has unlikely people, unlikely circumstances, unlikely pieces of the puzzle that he could put together. And so a little tyrant king called Herod, a little upstart, offended a greater tyrant, Augustus. Caesar Augustus, and Caesar Augustus says, you know what, I want all the Jews to be taxed. I want to censor them. I want to get all the names. I want them registered because I'm going to put a tax on them. And he thought he was doing them harm, but it was God setting things up to deal with the dilemma. Amen, amen, amen. So he orders a census to be taken of all the Jewish people. The research shows that although he had done this, the tax was not put on them until about another 10 years. You know? But when you're a tyrant, you're just a tyrant. But the Lord our God has a bridle for the wildest war horse. It doesn't matter what form it comes in. It doesn't matter what demonic force it is that is inside some of the tyrants of earth. God has a bridle for every horse that is wild, and he can tame them. Glory to God. So Augustus must become offended with Herod. Don't worry about it. He was compelled to tax the people. Don't worry about that. It was an imperative that the census be taken. Don't be too bothered about that. No, it is necessary. Maybe inconvenient and harsh and tyrannical the regulations might have been, but don't worry. God is on the case. I wonder who I'm speaking to this morning. So Mary is brought to Bethlehem, and Jesus is born as prophesied. And he is recognized officially as a descendant of David, yes, of the lineage of David, born in the right place. But if you think the dilemma is quite over, not quite, because she's pregnant and the traveling must have taken some time. They had to take their time. It was some distance and she was heavy with child. They had to proceed slowly. So by the time they got to Bethlehem, the place prophesied for the birth, guess what? All the available rooms in the inn were taken. Doesn't this sound like a predicament? Doesn't it sound as if somebody got something wrong? Did the angel Gabriel come too soon with the announcement? Did the Holy Spirit brood over Mary too soon and impregnate her? No, it was all in the timing of God. For man's extremity is really God's opportunity. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. All the rooms taken. All the rooms taken. And guess what? The innkeeper had no choice but to offer them another place. Another place. Another room. Not a pretty room. Not a special room. Not a great hotel room. In fact, my research shows me that there were places that were assigned for villagers to come if they were visiting, and they could have been accommodated freely. Those were taken too. Those spaces were taken. So it's the stall of the donkey that was the only place where the child could be born. Wonder how they managed it. I wonder, my imagination runs away with me. I wonder if they put some shabby cloth across the opening, a little curtain of a sort to give some privacy. I wonder if they tied a sheep outside to kind of guard the door. I don't know. To give her some privacy, to give her some seclusion. But I want to say this, when God makes a promise, church, he does all he can do and what he has to do to bring that promise to pass. Has he promised you anything? As a church, has he promised us anything? We sang Emmanuel. God with us, revealed in us. He will stand by his word to perform it. In modern society, certainly here at Glendon, the obstetrics ward is a place that is clean and well and hygienic. And it must be so when new babies are going to be born into the world. Not this time, not in this obstetric ward that I'm talking about. There was pee, goat pee, donkey pee, sheep pee, and poof. But yet a healthy child in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was born. He was delivered here. I said before that man's extremity is God's opportunity. So this morning our meditations are cast in the stable of Bethlehem. We pause to reflect on this great sight, the Savior in the manger, and to think over the reason for the lowly place of birth. The Bible says because there was no room for them in the inn. Then we will consider the challenge of how we can make room for Christ. Yes, there are other reasons besides the unavailability of a room. There are other reasons sometimes behind the tests that we are passed to experience. Amen. God wanted him to be identified with humility and with humiliation and with the lowly and with the meek. God wanted to identify him as the king of the poor. Oh, in the eyes of the poor, imperial robes don't matter. What really matters when you're belly hungry is somebody who would give you something and would understand your case, would understand your plight, who would understand where you're living and why you're living there. So he came as a king for the poor. The manger was a place free for all. Anybody could have come. I'm sure the innkeeper could have peeped in if he wanted to. I'm sure that his wife could have come if she wanted to. No place for class and no place for caste in that system. Not around the manger. No, it was an open place. I often wonder why the Lord chose shepherds to first hear the message from heaven. The angels came and sang glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill to men, not to kings but to shepherds, to the lowly, to the meek. What if they didn't accept the message? What if they didn't go to Bethlehem to see the babe for themselves? What if they hadn't left the stable rejoicing and praising God and spreading the news? Think about it. Think about it. What would have happened to our news about the Christ child? The manger was a place free for all, rich and poor, big and small, young and old. Christ was born in the stable of the inn to show he was free to all comers. Yes. Hey, glory to God. Hallelujah. So if you desire to come to Christ, you may come to him just as you are. You may come even now. Hey, the manger was a place where the beasts fed. It's the trough. We have pig troughs. You know what I'm talking about. It was the place where they put in their heads and feed. And that's where Mary had to lay the Christ child because there was no room in the inn. That's where weary beasts receive their provender. And shall there be not a mystery here? Even some men who are brutal in their nature can come to this manger scene and find the Christ child. Yes. Even some people who are devoid of human feeling and are beast-like in their approach to everything can find a place at the manger where Christ was. Amen. Yes. Amen. Amen. But you see, it's not the manger that's the thing. It's who's in the manger. It's not your situation that's the thing. It's who is in there with you. Yes. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because after Christ left the manger, I'm sure the beasts went back to feed in the same manger. And no, it's the Christ in the manger that makes the manger special. Christ brings grandeur to the manger. In our hogwash situations, he could bring glory. Oh, glory to God. In our messy situations, he can bring glory. His very presence brings glory to that situation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There were other places beside the inn which had no room for Jesus. The palaces of emperors and the halls of kings afforded the royal stranger no refuge. There were homes of senators. There were forums for political discussion, parliamentarians, chambers. Those must have been around. We might not have called them by those names, but they were not available to the Christ child. How little room there is for him in what we call good society. There is room for all the silly little forms by which men choose to trammel themselves, room for frivolous conversation, room for the adoration of the body. Some people spend hours. I used to do it too. I can't say anything. I used to put in certain things in my hours. And sometimes we don't spend that long thinking and meditating on the Lord of glory. Room for setting up this and for setting up that. It's COVID that spared us. This place would have been ridden with lots of music and dancing and celebration of a sort. Sometimes not at all adoring the King of glory. How little room for him on the stock exchange for investments. No room for Jesus there. How little room for him in the schools and the universities and our colleges. Not much room there. How little room has he found him in the church? Go where ye will. There is no space for the Prince of Peace, but with the humble and those whose hearts are open to him. But there surely must have been a place where he could go. Is it that I have forgotten a place to mention? It was the Sanhedrin, where the religious elders sit. Or where could he go? Amen. They must be living somewhere. They were not available to the King of glory. Glory to God. It's often the bishops who undermine the faith in God's word. It's the bishops who burn martyrs and make fields of blood. It's the bishops who were responsible to put John Bunyan in prison, who chased such men as Owen and the Puritans from their pulpits. It's not in the church sometimes. You can't find him in the church. We sing the hymns, but he's not there because our minds are not in it. Our hearts are not in it. Our spirits are not in it. He's not being present in our midst. Hallelujah. There is no room for him where his name is chanted in solemn hymns and his image lifted up amid smoke of incense. And even in our Protestant churches, we dance sometimes and we wave our hands and our minds are not even in the church. Oh, glory to God. But we need to make room for him. Yeah. The inn itself had no room for him. Hey, glory to God. The inn represents public opinion. In this free land of monsters, sometimes you can't talk too much about Christ. You don't believe it, you better believe it. The inn also represents general conversation. Speech is free in this land, but how little room there is for Christ to speak into the hearts of the hearers. As for inns of modern times, who could think of finding, glory to God, Christ there? In modern hotels, in the five-star hotels of our world, would he be welcome there? I'm very happy because I spent some time in some of the hotels when I was in active service for the government, and in most of them, especially around the Caribbean, we would find a little Gideon Bible in one of the drawers, and it was useful. You could always pull it out. For me, I always had my Bible, but I always thought it was a good thing to have the Gideon Bible right there. Here's my question to you as I close today. Have you room for Christ? I am hoping you would say yes. Let us sound a word of caution, however. If you have room for Christ, then the world has no room for you. If it had no room for Joseph and it had no room for Mary, it's not only the Christ child that it had no room for. It had no room for the chosen vessel, Mary, or for the reputed Joseph. No room. No room. No room. No room. And I'm saying there is no room for us to take our ease. No, we are soldiers of the cross, ready to go. One songwriter says, ready to stay, ready to stand the test, ready for service, lowly or great. ready, no room to sit down and be contented with attainments and achievement. Oh, we have a lovely edifice, and I love it. I love coming here. It's well ventilated. It's well lit, yes. But there is no room to sit at ease in Zion. No room for us to hide our treasure. The Bible says, Jesus himself said, if you hide it here, moth and rust could corrupt it, and thieves could break through. Bring it here. Hallelujah. Bring some of the treasures to the house. No room for you to hide the treasure in. No room for you to put your confidence, for cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on the flesh for his strength. There's hardly room for sufferance. We must expect to be laughed at and to wear the fool's cap in men's esteem. Will you enlist in such terms? Will you give room for Christ when there is henceforth no room for you? From this day, there will be no room for you in the good opinion of the world. In fact, things are a little better these days. Missionites are getting invited to the government house and to high class things, but there was a time when we couldn't even think about it because many of the converts were coming from the Orthodox churches and it was a crime to associate with us. There's no room for us in this world's love. If you expect that everybody will praise you and that your good actions will be applauded, you could be quite mistaken. The world has no room for the man who has room for Christ. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. What are you when all men speak well of you? You are not of the world, even as Christ is not of it. Thank God, this is not our final destination. Amen. We are in transit. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. Oh, glory to God. We are hurrying through this world as strangers through a foreign land, and we rejoice to know that though we are aliens and foreigners here, we are fellow citizens with the saints and with the household of God. For persons who are blood washed listening to the sound of my voice, preachers, teachers, believers all, how many are the lost that we have lifted? How have we carried Christ? How have we represented Christ? How many are the chained that we've helped to free? Have we done our best for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? I said, make room for him. Yes. Make room for the Savior at the beginning of the day and throughout the day as necessary. Make room for the Savior in your work programs. Some people usually put prayer as the first item on every workshop that they are having. Nothing is wrong with that. If it's a Monstrat brand, keep it that way. Oh, glory to God. Make room on your shopping list. Buy an item for someone that the Holy Spirit rests in your spirit. Make room for the Savior in your budget. Make room for the Savior in assigning tasks. Make room for the Savior in your sermons, in your worship. Make room for the Savior in even carrying out menial tasks. And some menial tasks could be messy too. Oh, but we must have the right attitude even as we administer, even as we give service in this area. Make room for the Savior in responding to news about COVID-19. I couldn't end unless I mention it. Make room for the Savior at the dinner table today. Glory to God. Make room. When you go after the ham and the turkey, remember to thank him. Remember to praise him. Hallelujah. For by him and in him and through him all things consist. I bring the flip side to that. It's not all gloom and doom that we always ostracize for making room for the Savior. Oh, but a crown awaits us. Remember that we will see his glory when we make room for him. And he comes on board in our various situations. What do you say? What do you say? What is your answer today? I ask you today, what are you going to say to him? Are we just going to regard him as a child in a manger, a messy manger? Oh, are we going to ask him to come to our hearts, Lord Jesus, and make room for him? Even though we are saved, ask him again, come. Hey, come and live with me. Come live in me. All my life take over. Come reign. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll rise on eagle's wings. Are you ready? Are we willing to receive the babe of Bethlehem? Hallelujah, hallelujah. He brings glory to us. He brings glory to us. Remember, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And in doing so, we beheld his glory, could behold his glory if we make room for him. And on that note, I ask us to bow quietly in prayer as we consider what he's asking us today. Ask you to pray individually. Give you 2 minutes just to pray and ask him to come in a fresh way in our chambers. Be free, Holy Spirit. Speak to us during the course of this day and onward. Father, we thank you for the privilege of coming to your house this morning to celebrate the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ. We celebrate the fact, Lord God, that immortality took on mortality, and the infinite became finite, and the invisible became visible. And the Eternal One conformed himself to time. Lord, we thank you that there was room found for him even in the stable, because your word had to be fulfilled. The word had to be made flesh. You had to come and tabernacle with men of every status, starting with the poor and the lowly. Help us to make room for you, Lord, no matter what the cost may be, and help us to return to see and to delight in your glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, Jesus Christ. Thank you for being our hope. Thank you for being our peace. Thank you for being all that we'll ever need. Amen.